This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. That's the WWE pay-per-view coming up this weekend. I am Chris Graham, and this is Street Knowledge. And yes, it's a silly name for a pay-per-view. We've all known that. We've been discussing it online really since WWE announced the name. But what's the difference? You know, aside from SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania, the big four of the year, sort of going in ascending order as the WWE season kind of plays out, WrestleMania being the highlight, even though, you know, of course it's always around the 1st of April. When you think in terms of logical progression, that's how things build up. The other names, used to just be a monthly pay-per-view, but now that the brands have been split into two, WWE has a deeper rotation now of pay-per-views. And point being, the names of the other ones, the ones that aren't those big four, don't really matter. Dumb name, yeah. But the card is what it is. Raw's last singular pay-per-view before SummerSlam, where presumably both brands will play back into things. And this card coming up this Sunday, it's interesting, because I'll say this, I've said this about the last couple of both SmackDown and Raw pay-per-views, you know, since WrestleMania season. I'm not really excited from a storyline perspective about any of the big matches that are coming up. But that said, I think they're going to be good matches to sit and watch. And so, good booking for Sunday night starting at 8 o'clock, just not – I don't know that they've been selling this very well. Let's start, and I'm going to skip over a couple of the lighter matches. I'll just go over the four sort of main matches that I'm reviewing here. And the first I'll talk is Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt. You know, I'm unfortunately not buying much that WWE does with Bray Wyatt these days. His character has had so much promise. Even with that recent WWE title run that ended at WrestleMania with Randy Orton winning, you know, Wyatt is somebody who's got some victories over some of the biggest names in WWE. He beat Daniel Bryan early on. He beat John Cena a couple of times. Of course, he wins the title and held it for just a couple of months leading into that weird feud with Randy Orton. You know, there's so much potential with Wyatt. They've really just messed things up. They continue to mess things up with him, but he still puts on some good performances in the ring. He still has the fans' interest in his ring entrance and his character and everything else. And this match with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, in my book, and the best right now pound-for-pound wrestler in WWE, the best pound-for-pound performer in WWE, whether he's a heel or a face, he's someone that people just gravitate towards. The fans. The fans love Rollins. And he puts on great matches every time out. And so this should be intriguing for that perspective. Two of the better in-ring performers in WWE right now. Wyatt is kind of limited. He's a heel. I mean, he really can't wrestle as a face. He and Rollins are going to put on a good match. And, I'm not buying into the storyline part of things here, but I think just from a sit down and watch it on Sunday night perspective, it's going to be fun to watch. I'd probably say the same for Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks, the women's title match, the Raw women's title match. You know, the walk up to this has been a little awkward. I like the gauntlet match that Raw ran last week in the main event. That led to Banks getting this number one contendership. She now gets to challenge Alexa Bliss for the championship. I think that the way that played out, it really elevates Sasha Banks back up. You know, she'd been sort of on the back burner for a while, looking for a dance partner. You know, her and Charlotte Flair had put on some really great matches, not just for women's matches. They were main eventing pay-per-views and main eventing Raws for a reason, and it was earned. It wasn't something that was just given to them. And, after Charlotte was sent over to SmackDown, Sasha's kind of floundered a bit looking for, again, that dance partner, you know, someone that she can work with and they can both elevate their games to that next level. I don't know that Alexa Bliss is that, But I think there is one aspect here. Alexa Bliss is the champion. She's got the belt around her waist, and I like what WWE is doing here, trying to put some different women in these positions to, you know, the belt. You know, from a wrestling fan's perspective, you want to think that the belt goes to the best performer, best wrestler. But the belt can be used and often is used to add legitimacy to a performer so that you look at that person and say, wow, that's a former champion. That's a current champion. Sasha Banks right now doesn't need a belt to elevate her to that status. She's already at that top level of WWE women's performer. Alexa Bliss is the champion, but she really hasn't had a defining moment yet as champion. You know, kind of an awkward feud with Bayley was unfulfilling. So, you know, I would look at this and say if the booking's smart on this, Alexa Bliss will win this match in controversial fashion. You know, give Sasha Banks some, you know, ability to save face a bit here, but. But if Alexa Bliss can come out of this as champion and give, you know, not only have a belt, but then a belt and a win over a top flight performer like Sasha Banks, that will really, you know, really serve to elevate Alexa Bliss, who still, maybe I'm biased in my thinking. I still think of her as, you know, she was a valet for the longest time back in NXT. We've only seen her come out as a performer in the last year or year plus. And so maybe I still think of her in that way. I know that sometimes using the valet role can, as a precursor towards a run in the ring, can be a good thing, and they do that a lot with women. You never see the men do it. You Enzo and Cass, for example. Enzo is so good on the mic, leaves something to be desired in the ring. You'd think that he's got some future. Enzo does probably as a manager for somebody, you know, wreaking havoc in the way. Right now, WWE only has the one male manager, Paul Heyman, that I can think of. Back in the 80s, though, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, the managers used to be, they'd put a guy who can't talk with a mouthpiece who would do dastardly things outside the ring and talk trash and promos and interviews and bring heat WWE doesn't seem to do that with men so much anymore. But the women, again, you know, we've seen Lana make the transition as an example from being valet for Rusev into a performer in her own right. Alexa Bliss, if you don't watch NXT, you don't know what I'm talking about. But she was a valet there for quite a while. She needs to overcome that. You know that the playing that role can help the women get their name recognition out there. But then again, you know, like I said, I think maybe I'm a little biased against her as an in-ring performer because I still think of her as someone who was a second more than that. You know, a performer in her own right. So a win over Banks can be good for her. I think we'll look towards that match though. It should be entertaining. Next up, the ambulance match, Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. It's obvious where this is going. Unfortunately for you out there in the WWE universe who want to see Roman Reigns get beat again, things are moving quickly towards. We had thought that Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar was going to be held off until WrestleMania next year, WrestleMania 34. But now it seems that maybe the bookers are panicking a bit. Vince McMahon and Triple H and the crew are panicking a bit at the way things are going right now. Fan interest maybe, you know, has definitely waned. Even my interest as someone who watches it and works professionally in the business, I've made it a point. I've either missed or only watched with one eye the last few Raws and SmackDowns. And so, yeah, the buttons seem to be pushed in the direction of Reigns versus Brock at SummerSlam. So that's coming up, you know, up in August. We'll worry about WrestleMania later on, you know, whatever. So the Reigns-Strowman match is part of the sort of the double main event. I'll call it a double main event. Seems to be moving again in a very clear direction. Throw out the possibility still that, you know, a Strowman win could lead him to a match with Brock at SummerSlam, and then you could still save the Reigns-Brock match for WrestleMania 34 next year. But again, it seems like all indications coming out of the inner circles are that Reigns will get this win and then challenge Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. which is it's the number two pay per view. It's the mid WWE season, which goes April to April. It's the mid year pay per view. It's the equivalent in the midsummer of WrestleMania. So it makes sense to have that kind of a marquee match at the top there. And I say out there in WWE Universe, you know, disappointment coming. Reigns, all the fans seem to want. They want to see the heel turn. They want to have, right now they're booing him anyway. And I'm one who keeps saying, hey, turn him heel for a while, and then it would be odd, but the way wrestling fans are these days, if you turn him heel, people will start cheering him. Those who are booing him now might start cheering him. And then you can turn him face. We saw this. We've seen great heels turn face and become huge stars. The Rock was one. Certainly Stone Cold Steve Austin was one. Guys who parlayed. Of course heels have more fun anyway. So the kind of things you can get away with saying and doing when you're a heel. Fans these days want to root. A lot of fans want to root for the bad guy. It kind of works in real life too. Well, real life and other forms of entertainment. I'm thinking right now. I'm finally getting through starting to get through season 5 of House of Cards, and I even said out loud about halfway through. I said to my wife as we binge watched some last night. You almost feel bad rooting for Frank Underwood, but you root for the guy, and he's a dastardly guy. He's doing all these things to throw elections and everything else, but you want to see more of it. Wrestling fans the same way. And so when they're booing Roman Reigns, the face, you can turn that around a little bit on the fans. And good booking would do that. WWE doesn't seem interested in that. So Roman Reigns will get a win over Braun Strowman. He'll get booed. He'll be the face. It'll be odd. That's just what happens. WWE is tone deaf to good writing, and unfortunately that's what the case is going to be. I don't expect a lot out of this match. Neither of these guys can work great in the ring, and I hate to say that. Roman Reigns is a guy that his limited moveset would be perfect for a heel, too. Braun Strowman, his main characteristic is that he's really big. As a monster heel, he can only do so much. He does a lot of destruction, but, it's hard to – the believability of him losing a match to really anybody is hard, and that makes it hard for an opponent to get a lot of offense in. He can't, he's got a no-sell moves because otherwise it's hard to believe that a guy who's, I think he's 6'8", 375, looks every bit of either one, a World's Strongest Man competitor. It's hard to believe that even a guy like Roman Reigns, who was an all-ACC football player at Georgia Tech back in the mid-2000s, but it's hard to imagine a guy of his size. I mean, he's about 250, 260, that anything he could do could – do any damage to Braun Strowman in a match like this one, an ambulance match. So that's why WWE has him booked. When he loses matches, he doesn't get pinned. He doesn't get pinfall right in the middle of the ring, legitimately by anybody. He'll lose a match, kind of like that dumpster match with Kalisto, I think it was a couple months ago. He'll accidentally, inadvertently fall into the dumpster, and that's his way of losing. And then he'll go on a terror rampage afterwards and make Kalisto pay for having beaten him and that kind of thing. There was Sami Zayn series where Sami Zayn would win simply by surviving 10 minutes with Braun Strowman. Those are the kind of things you got to do booking of Braun Strowman to keep his character interesting. And an ambulance match. So yeah, they'll figure out some way to give Reigns the win. Strowman will almost probably inadvertently end up in the ambulance somehow, and that'll be the defeat to keep him strong. But things seem to be moving again in the direction of Roman Reigns versus Brock at SummerSlam. That gets us to the final match of the card. Brock Lesnar defending against Samoa Joe. I do like this. This is the one of these final four that I'm reviewing previewing, I guess, because I'm not reviewing yet. Reviewing in my own mind how things are going to play out, I suppose. That's actually had a good build-up. Samoa Joe has been, Samoa Joe is somebody that wrestling fans know. He was, of course, a longtime star in TNA Impact Wrestling, and a champion there. Various championship belts held there. He's a legitimate badass kind of guy in the ring, but you know, WWE is not taking for granted that fans would have known him from his TNA Impact days or his NXT days. He was an NXT champion as well, had a nice series, particularly with Finn Balor, before dropping that belt on his way up to the main roster with Raw. And so with Joe, the build-up has included him interacting with Paul Heyman. And part of that is, I mean, Heyman's a great mouthpiece. Part of it is, too, Brock Lesnar has this sweetheart deal of a contract where he only makes a certain number of appearances on Raw, a certain number of live appearances, a certain number of pay-per-view appearances, and they're not wasting those certain number of appearances on the build-up to a match. So Paul Heyman ends up being the guy that bears the brunt of the opponent's ire. And we've seen it's actually been decent. Clever ways of getting heat between Lesnar and Samoa Joe without having much in terms of presence from Brock Lesnar. And this match will probably not be a 5-star match, to use Dave Meltzer's rating system. I think it's safe to say that. You know, two guys. I mean, Lesnar is in his own way, he's a Braun Strowman. You know, he has to no sell a lot. I mean, the whole Goldberg thing last year. You looked at to build up Goldberg versus Lesnar at their main event at WrestleMania. They had to have a couple of short matches, and it almost like, you know, Goldberg sort of accidentally won those matches on the way up. I mean, a couple of quick moves and it was over. You know, Lesnar's not a guy that's going to call a lot of spots in a ring. He's not going to lead anybody through a thrilling technical match of any sort, and neither is Joe. I mean, also forgetting Joe's nice feud with Shinsuke Nakamura. Somehow I did that. I can't believe I did that. Those are some great matches between those two in NXT. But you pair Joe with another guy like in Impact days, AJ Styles or a Nakamura or a Balor, he can put on some great matches with guys of that stature. But it's hard for me to imagine that Joe and Brock are going to put a great technical match on. They're both badasses. You know, Lesnar's claim to fame is that he'll suplex you 17 times, do a couple of F5s, and that's pretty much it. Joe is a guy that, he bullies his opponents too. And so you got two bullies in the ring. They both work great with smaller guys who they can bully and can take their punishment and, you know, kind of come back and keep a match going on for a while. This match is at best a 8 to 10 minute match. I think we know where this is going. It's not going in the direction of Joe getting a win. I think what the best outcome for this would be Brock getting a hard fought win against another bully, and Joe being able to assert himself a bit against Brock, show that he is a legitimate badass, and kind of take from there, you know, kind of step back after going toe-to-toe with Brock, you know, losing one of those kind of battles where they're both battered and beaten, and it just happens that Brock wins in the end, and then Joe can kind of take the rub from that and, maybe make a run at another title, a lesser title, obviously, but maybe a run at the IC title. I mean, I think that's something that can put him over in the eyes of the mainstream WWE universe, and this could be a springboard for that. So in that respect, you know, it'll entertain in the way that it can. It won't be the kind of match. I mean, I think the best match on this, the top part of this card, is Rollins and Bray Wyatt. That match will go on for 30 minutes, and those two guys will do all kinds of high spots with each other, and it'll be a great pace match, and the fans will be chanting, "This is awesome," about 15 minutes into it, and they'll keep going and doing the same thing for a while there. Other than that, I think, you know, we'll be entertained, but it just won't be the same level of entertainment as we will see from Rollins and Bray. So that's getting you ready for Great Balls of Fire. That's Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and we're going to get back into our habit of doing Facebook Lives after these WWE pay-per-views. Kind of gotten out of that habit since WrestleMania. We're going to do that again. Looking forward to talking with you fans out there and in that environment. If you've never been on one of our Facebook Lives after one of the wrestling pay-per-view shows, it's a lot of fun. We get dozens of fans getting on there. They ask me questions. I give opinions. I kind of ask questions of the audience. People comment. you can kind of keep up with both. You can, you know, watch me, you can keep, you know, watch me talk, you know, giving my thoughts, and then read along and comment yourself with other fans, and neat way to, you know, neat way to interact there after a show. So we'll be doing that Sunday night, roughly 11 o'clock, after the Great Balls of Fire wrestling show from WWE. And that'll sign us off here for our wrestling podcast. I want to thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. I am Chris Graham signing off. Have a great day, everybody.